Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a good day. Dak having a medical appointment tomorrow. They're going to evaluate after that. That is the latest. I know people are wondering. And Mike McCarthy said he would prefer Dak to have a full week of practice before he puts him in there. Stay tuned. I think tomorrow is going to be a big day. Maybe the grip strength will return all of a sudden, and we'll be talking about him playing against the Rams, but our insider, Brian Broaddus, would be highly surprised by that, wouldn't you?
I don't think he's going to play, Gavin, just to be honest with you, but, you know, to me, just talking to people after the game, Mike's telling you about the doctor's appointment, he's telling you about the, you know, having a full week of practice. I just don't think they're going to get the full week. I think next week would be the time when they get that full week of practice.
That is former Cowboy scout Brian Broaddus. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup. Woolchuck and Shea follower here. I'm Gavin Dawson. Carter Freeman coordinates your video. And you can watch us on YouTube and Twitch and at 105throughthefan.com. Jerry talking about the DC Dan Quinn last night. To me, that's clearly the number one reason this team is 3-1 right now. It's the quality of the defense. We have several branches on this topic tree. Here's Jerry on the DC.
I did something about that. I did something about Dan in the offseason. That's why we got him today. Okay, I did something about that. And I recognize that he was important in the offseason. And so that's, in other words, to answer your question, I don't have to say words. We did something about him. He's here.
How many more
and
zeros?
He didn't have to be here. And so we're glad to have him here. Obviously, and the players are playing because they feel a part of being a part of what he's started. You've got players like Lawrence and players like that. So there's nice chemistry going on here with his time with Kelvin.
But I mean next year.
Again, that's next year. But I know this, that we've done as good a job of having him here as you can do.
I love Jerry saying, I don't need to say anything, I did something. And I felt like for years, Jerry's actions speak so much louder than words. And you can get so much closer to what the true story is if you just watch what he does instead of watching his lips move and try to decipher that. But I would say you got to keep doing something. Maybe they made him the top paid assistant in the NFL. I think Dan Quinn is so important here, and I know things are coming along well right now with the head coach in Mike McCarthy, but you tell him, we have a special group of players. You might have other chances to go be a head coach, but if you ride this out with Diggs and Parsons and whoever we continue to add to the mix, we have the foundation of a great defense. This could go 3 or 4 years, and you could become a Cowboys legend. You're still young enough you can be a head coach. But I need Jerry to continue to do something and keep writing the check and make him higher paid than any head coach in the NFL or a lot of head coaches in the NFL because he has constantly told us, oh, imagine the check I'll write to give us another Super Bowl. Well, now you have something so perfect with Dan Quinn. If you don't want to be the head coach, if you want to keep going with Mike McCarthy or Sean Payton, whatever, but you got to pay Dan Quinn to make sure he doesn't leave because I'm convinced this is a very important part of this equation, guys.
I love the idea of the reporter going, all right, it's week four, we're 3-1, we're rocking and rolling. Let me ask a question about replacing Dan Quinn right now. Like, who's the reporter that fired off that question?
Next year.
No, we're talking about next year. Like, why are we doing it? I think it was Newey. Can we get to friggin' Halloween?
No, it didn't sound like Newey. You think it was Newey?
I think there was talk about it. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn here, but I want to say that I heard Sean and RJ talking about it this morning.
Maybe it was.
And Bobby, I think Bobby Belt, maybe we'd reach out to Bobby and ask him that question. I'll say something real quick about this. Yeah, Jerry, Denver made a mistake. Denver was going to hire Dan Quinn. That was going to be their guy. George Payton, the general manager for Denver, was going to hire him. And he was planning on going to the Denver Broncos. The Broncos then, in turn, were going to get sold by the Bolin Family Trust. And they didn't want another defensive coach. Went for the offensive coach there.
How's that going?
John Fox and all. Yeah, exactly. You know, Dan Quinn, you're right. Jerry Jones stepped up. He's paying him like an NFL head coach right now. He is. There's no question. But you also, this team is different on defense, not only because of Dan Quinn and Joe Witt and AD and George Edwards and those guys, because Mike McCarthy hired a disaster in Mike Nolan.
Yeah.
You know, got
Can't
rid of
let that happen
got,
again.
Yeah, got rid of, but give Mike some credit for saying, okay, yeah, let's do this. You know, Dan Quinn became available because they had a bad half of a Super Bowl against the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Or all those guys would still be there coaching the Atlanta Falcons. But the draft gods smiled on them. Think about how they got Diggs in the second round.
Yep.
Think about how they got Micah Parsons in the first round there. People passing on him. I was on a Giants podcast and they were talking about, you know, about Micah Parsons and all that. And then like, you know, they should have drafted him. That was their, you know, that was their thought, you know, that like, hey, if I was on this, you know, I've talked to a bunch of people there about that. The draft gods smiling. Now the Cowboys were ready. The Cowboys were ready to make the pick. They did a great job of being ready to make the pick, but this defense has come together by some damn good fortune. Mm-hmm. Along the way. And I'm not saying that the Cowboys don't do their homework, but, you know, there's sometimes on coaches they don't do their homework. You know, they'll interview one, two guys, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, but this one did. This one fell in their lap. They took advantage of it, and they took advantage of two of their best players in the draft.
Well, they've had good players in the past. I mean, you had some bad defenses with D-Ware, you know. Yeah. You had Terrence Newman on the team. I think while the players did fall in your lap, Dan Quinn ties it together in a way. You can't let walk out the door.
Absolutely.
Know? Yeah.
I think that's it. I think you kind
of
have...
I think Dan Quinn would have walked if he was given the job.
Yeah, you can't risk that again.
I think you're right. I think he'd have taken the head coaching job in Denver, and I think the other thing there is... They also didn't have the Russell Wilson trade in place. They were maybe hoping they could get Aaron Rodgers.
For sure. And then
Nathaniel Hackett deal there was also, okay, maybe that makes the Rodgers thing more of a possibility. Then he ends up going back to Green Bay, so then they make the trade for Russell Wilson. But there's no salary cap on coaches, right? So you can try and money whip Dan Quinn as much as you want, but it's a perfect marriage. Dan Quinn is putting these players in a position to succeed. He's had an eye for talent to bring in a guy like Jayron Kearse, who we were all thinking, ooh, this is not that great of a player. He hasn't been awesome with the Lions. George Edwards did a lot of good work with that one, too. George Edwards, 100%. Yeah. He deserves a lot of credit.
He'd been with him in Minnesota, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Dan Quinn's done an excellent job with guys like Donovan Wilson, for example, and others putting them in position to succeed. But I think Will McClay and the staff have also hit home runs
with
some of their late-round guys. Donovan Wilson's another example of that in the sixth round. But also the way that they've built, and we're still talking about
Bland
some struggles.
Bland in the fifth. Yeah.
We're still talking about some struggles along the defensive line when it comes to stopping the run. But you're seeing more of these guys step up and be playmakers, whether it's Neville Gallimore had a good game yesterday. Quentin Bohanna, we got a good report today on the shoulder. Thank goodness. We were worried about that injury, but he's played really well. You know, you go down the list. Tristan Hill, all these guys, we talk about the depth on that side of the ball. It goes to drafting, developing, but also Dan Quinn's been the perfect guy to bring the best out of all these players.
Do you think he'd be this good if you made him head coach as DC?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because I saw what we remember when Mike McCarthy got COVID against the Saints.
Yeah.
In that game, we saw what Dan Quinn's capable of calling defenses and being the head coach.
Yeah. Well,
that's just me. And you know what?
Then I'd make him the head coach if that's what it takes.
I've been wrong about Mike McCarthy as far as where, you know, I thought Mike McCarthy was lazy. I think he wasn't always interested in being, you know, coach. You know, there was times there where I'm like, listen, you know, you're letting all these people just do things. And finally, I think he stepped up. Once Dak got hurt, he stepped up and said, listen, I'm going to get fired if I don't say something.
We're not going to pass the ball 50 times.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. Yeah. Right. And you know what? I applaud him for stepping up and doing these things.
He did.
But to me, like I said, you know, and Mike McCarthy has got a good record. He has a good record. I just felt like, though, the things I knew from him from Green Bay and the things I knew from the Cowboys, that he was not the right guy for the job.
And okay. We got a text from the 214, Jesus tap the brakes. I don't think people understand what they're watching with this Cowboys defense right now. It's historically dominant, the first 4 weeks, what we're seeing. They have not done this since 1974, when they have not allowed more than 20 points to an opponent in the first 4 weeks of a season. They haven't allowed more than one touchdown to an opponent in the first four games of the season. Why can you not celebrate when you have something going right for your team? It's like you're crapping too much on the team. You're praising the team too much. We're going to crap on them when they're bad, but we're going to praise them when they're good. They deserve to be praised right now.
I think it's because it runs so counter to their narrative they're dug on that Jerry or Mike or Dak just aren't good enough. And they can't acknowledge something might be going so well that those factors could be mitigated in a way that could actually spell glory. I also think people are sick and tired of getting their hopes up after 26 years and then having the other shoe drop.
Yeah.
And if you never want to get excited or hope for your football team, that's kind of a sad existence. And we just saw the Bengals get there. Bengals not a good team. They went on a great run. They beat a bunch of playoff teams, and now
family run front office too.
Yeah, so it can happen, and I think the defense is a big part of it. Even Cooper Rush last night, they're the reason we're winning.
Exactly,
it's plain and simple. Carson Wentz was hit 11 times, two intentional grounding calls. I mean, it's not that big of a feather in your cap to make Carson Wentz look bad, but they made him look abnormally bad and weren't even really able to sack him that much, you know, just with the two sacks. But there is talk that this could be the best Cowboys team on defense in a half century, Brian. Compare and contrast to the team in the 90s.
Oh, man.
Which one are you taking?
I'll tell you what. Man, the team in the 90s was hard because I being at Green Bay and then in Philly and all that, I mean, it never stopped. Their offense got them a lead, and then they unleashed the pass rush, whether it's Charles Haley or any one of those guys. My favorite player, you know, talk about Darren Woodson. They just had so many players and playmakers that were involved. You know, playmaker, Deion Sanders. I mean, to me, those teams in the 90s on defense were as good as any defense that I've ever seen in my 13 years of scouting in the National Football League.
I mean, those Cowboys teams, once they added Deion and had Haley, I think I would rather have that defense with both of those guys.
Yep.
But before Deion in the first two, it was kind of a regular defense plus Haley, right?
They did a super job of having the rotations that, you know, with the players that, and they fit in so well. And they just never gave you, you couldn't run the ball on them. And especially you couldn't, and they get you to the point where you couldn't run the ball because you're behind in the game. And then all of a sudden they the way the pass rush got after you, the secondary, the safety play. This team is good on defense. Those Super Bowl teams were very impressive.
I think they could get there if they can shut down the run. And at 5 yards per attempt, that number's got to come down at least a little bit. 817, people aren't giving the defense enough praise because the offense isn't putting up 40. Therefore, the overall vibe isn't dominance, and they can't separate the two. I would agree with that.
What more do you want from me?
I'll tell you this, though. To me, that the defense, and Cooper Rush is right. You gained 2 yards a carry yesterday. You know, running the football. Your biggest plays were basically pass interference plays, but it got you in position.
Yeah.
Your kicker is out of his mind good right now.
Could have gone the other way very easily.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hell yes, it could have gone the other way very easily.
And some of the texts are like, they haven't played anybody. They held the Bucs with Tom Brady in that offense to 19 points. They put up 31 points last night to the Chiefs. You don't think that offense is any good? The Bengals, who have three of the best receivers in football.
Yeah.
They held them to 17 points. You don't think that offense is any good with Joe Mixon? I get the Commanders and Giants. I 100% understand it. But just from what we've seen from the first 4 weeks, nobody's putting them in the Super Bowl, guys. I understand it. We're not trying to overreact here. But from what we've seen, they deserve credit.
For sure. There's no question about, I mean, if you go four games in a row without allowing 20 points, you're doing some pretty special stuff.
It's so damn hard to do in the NFL.
Yes. Now, to the running game stuff, John Owning, as of right now, Cowboys defense has allowed the most explosive running plays, which are 10 or more yards, and the highest explosive run percentage this season. So certainly something to clean up there. But otherwise, the defense has been spectacular, and they've done it in a way where it's a bunch of different guys stepping up. And so that's been really cool to see.
The first half, I think the Commanders ended up with 140-something yards. I think 100 of that was in the first half. And then the second half, they kind of tightened things down. They were much better when you watch the All-22 in the second half playing the run than they were the first, for sure.
This really started happening last year, though, late, where they got this pass rush together after Tank got healthy. And the reason that the text resonated with me so much is because I think he's right. The offense is frustrating, so you really can't separate the two. But they held the Saints to 17, and then the Commanders to 20, and then the Giants to 6, and the Commanders to 14. And, you know, Arizona beat them but had just 25 points. We saw throughout last year several games, the Vikings at 16 points earlier in the year, where teams just could not produce much offense. And I wonder when the narrative is going to flip. Like, sure, you know, if the offense can play well, that's great, but it's going to be the defense that is going to...
The turnovers.
Yeah.
The turnovers were big last year. You had one guy get 11 interceptions. I mean, the turnovers were huge. I mean, maybe they didn't have the... They've got the pressures. They got the sacks. They should... By the way, your corner who's playing great should have 4 interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely should have.
Yep.
He had three. I mean, he had one for sure against the Giants. 2 others he dropped. He should be at 4 right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting around the ball.
And that's one of the most encouraging things for me is they're not getting all the turnovers that they had last year, and they're still playing well. Football.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that's huge.
Yeah, Tank said last night, more coming. You know, he says they feel like they're just scratching the surface.
That quarterback yesterday averaged 4 yards of completion.
Yeah, he threw the ball 42 times. He had 170 yards. And
4 yards of completion. Think about that.
You have that punt that landed, what, the 28?
Yeah, he kicked it 22 yards. Guy punted. The Pro Bowl punter, he'd been punting it all day, 55, 58, whatever. That one went 22 yards. You give it the ball on the 28-yard line. Yeah, they go for it on fourth down, but you get off the field on fourth down. No points. Come on.
Okay, how about the 469? Please shut the bleep up about these meaningless wins.
You need to get to the playoffs first before you can win 3 playoff games in a row. Brad, you can't just skip the meaningless wins. You got to play the regular season. They're not meaningless. It's not the preseason, 469.
We got 2 playoff really games coming up.
Yeah, we do. 2 playoff opponents for sure, Rams and Eagles. Both these on the road.
And I do understand the cynical Cowboy fans saying, hey, I see these guys beat up on bad teams, you know, year in, year out. Let's see him do it against some teams that are really bringing it.
100%. We saw this last year. They started 6-7-1 last year, and then they tanked.
Now the defense is better, and they're actually running the ball and doing play action. Last year's offensive philosophy was flawed in a major way. Now the coaching on offense is better. The defense is even better. I think
the special teams are better.
You have to give this team a clean slate. Yes, the special teams are better. You have to let them see if they can do it and not hold them to the sins of, you know, mistakes of the past. We got to run. Chris Young's going to join you next here in the G-Bag Nation.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, Rangers GM Chris Young coming up in 5 minutes. We'll pepper him with questions about Rangers-Yankees. The series is going to be underway tonight. 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock first pitch. Tomorrow, a doubleheader. 12:30 and 6:30 for your pregames tomorrow if you want to listen to history. 105.3 The Fan has your back. Speaking of history, Brian, it looks like the fans and the Tolos out there are pretty excited to get out there and get in the seats in the outfield.
Yeah, that's John Morosi just put out a tweet about that the ticket office made an announcement that they're expecting over 35,000 tonight, but that all the tickets in the outfield are all sold for all four games.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, so go out there and catch you a ball. Man, and then when you catch that ball, come on air with us and talk about how you caught the ball.
Yeah, I hope a Tolo snags it.
Yeah, I do too.
That'd be exceptional. We'll ask Chris Young, what would you do as a player, as a fan? Okay, but let's talk about what you expect in these next two Cowboys games here at 877-881-1053. Let's assume Dak does not play in these games, and the story could change in a big way tomorrow afternoon when he gets out of the doctor's office, and we'll see. But right now, let's just go on the assumption that Dak doesn't play, or if you want to comment on it and give your qualifier, go ahead. But it's Rams and Eagles. Cowboys have won 8 straight versus the East. Will they make it 9? And do you think they'll beat the reigning Super Bowl champion Rams in Los Angeles on their way there? Zach, Eric, what do you think?
I think that if they can split these two games, preferably with the win versus the Eagles, I'd be very, very happy. I think that's a big-time victory, assuming you don't have Dak Prescott. I think if you're sitting at 4-2 and you get a win over the Eagles, you're in the driver's seat. You're 3-0 in the division, and I would be extremely thrilled at where they are after 6 games.
Well, I'd be thrilled with a split, Chief.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, no question about it. Especially if you're telling me that Cooper Rush is starting both of these next games. I think we have a pretty good idea Cooper Rush is playing this week versus the Rams, and then maybe a coin flip about Dak coming back for that Eagles game. I don't feel good about either one of these games. Going into Los Angeles versus McVay with a backup quarterback, I think that is probably going to end up being a little bit too much for you. And then, once again, going to Philadelphia, and they're playing really, really good football right now. Say what you want about them, but that's going to be a big-time challenge. They got down early yesterday, 14-0, and then next thing you know, boom, everything is all fine. They faced some adversity yesterday. It wasn't one of these games where they just front ran the whole time. That was a tough one. Jacksonville's a respectable team, and they got it clicking right now. So if you split these, I feel like $1 million.
Yeah, I think Jacksonville had, was it 5 turnovers yesterday?
Had 4 of them.
Yeah, they turned the ball over a lot. So Jacksonville hurt themselves. I mean, it was one of those things where if you can maybe, you know, just be, your ball security is going to be huge for the Cowboys in that game. And if you do have Cooper Rush, maybe you feel a little bit better. But, I mean, based on Brian, I mean, we haven't gotten to watch the All-22 yet, but the way you're talking about the offensive line and the way they played against the defensive line and the interior, those two tackles, Payne and Allen, I mean, they got a couple good ones in Philly.
Yeah.
With the rookie from Georgia, Jordan Davis, and then, you know, you talk about Fletcher Cox, who were always zeroing in on.
Jonathan Hargrove.
And Hargrove as
Or Hargrave, whatever it is. He's a monster.
Yeah, former Pittsburgh Steeler that's now been an Eagle for several years. So, I mean, the Eagles have a very good defensive line. You're going to get Aaron Donald next week, so that'll be a big test as well. So, I mean, you've got your work cut out for you in the next 2 weeks. We're going to get to see exactly what their plan is at left guard. I think that they're going to have to figure out what they want to do with this offensive line, who's going to be the starter at left guard. They need to make a decision there. Are they rocking with Connor McGovern, or is it going to be Jason Peters?
Agreed.
And they need to figure that out.
Yeah, I think they're going to go with McGovern right now myself. Jason Peters looked like a 40-year-old man playing yesterday. You know, and that's, and you know, that's, hey, that's going to happen. These guys are going to make you look bad. I will say this one thing about the Rams game. This is going to be a Dallas home game.
Okay.
To me, you watch what happens in that stadium with the Rams.
Even after a Super Bowl, huh?
Oh, absolutely. You watch. This is going to be a Cowboy home game when it's all said and done.
They will need it. The Rams are giving up only 3.8 yards per attempt. So it's another like Tampa Bay type of front you're going to have success running the ball against. I don't know if that number is going to hold, but so far early in the year, they are playing really good run defense and teams aren't trying to run that much against them. Now, you go to Philadelphia, I think that's the better chance. You have beaten them several times in a row. I do think the Cowboys are going to split with them this year. So I'll just give them the game in Philadelphia. We'll take the game in Dallas. I think that is the most likely scenario. But we've been talking about how the Cowboys are giving up 5 yards per attempt on the ground. So are the Eagles.
Yeah.
With this big old defense, and we're supposed to be scared and all that.
Surprising.
It's possible the Cowboys could have a tremendous amount of success. It's kind of like, two good defenses, two good offensive lines. You're kind of... You know, obviously there's differences, but there's a lot of similarities between the two teams, especially when Dak gets back in there. It is time now to talk with Rangers GM Chris Young here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm well, guys. How are you all?
Oh, we're doing good, thank you. Pretty cool to finish the season on center stage in the big leagues here. Huh? Everybody's going to be watching you guys here. How would you pitch Aaron Judge?
I told our guys we're coming right after him. We want to make sure that we're going to find out a lot about ourselves, too. You want guys out there that are competitive, who want to attack them, want to see how they match up against the best players in the world. And I think this is a great opportunity to do so.
Chris, okay, so that's really great to hear you say that, because it seems like to me that he hasn't been getting pitches to hit. So the fact that you're going to challenge him, is that just you being an old school baseball guy and say, hey, let's see if he could do this against us in this series with our best stuff?
Look, I think, it's the essence of competition, right? You want to see how you measure up against the best. And I think this is a great opportunity for us to do it, both as a team and as an individual, when you pitch against the best. And I lived this a little bit pitching to Barry Bonds when he was going through a race. This is what you play for. This is, you want to see how you do against the best players in the world. So I think it's a great opportunity for our guys. You know, there's a balance of trying to win a game and be smart about it, but in the end, we just saw Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. We didn't pitch around them. We went after them. We pitched to them. And I expect our pitchers to do the same with Aaron Judge.
So, CY, I mean, you're a competitive son of a gun, and clearly you're sending that message to your staff. It would be neat to witness history, but would you like to see Aaron Judge get that 60-second home run this series?
Look, I'd like to see us win baseball games, most importantly. But I do step back from a fan's perspective, and I recognize how special this is and how neat it is in the context of the history of baseball. And so while I hate for the Texas Rangers to be on the wrong end of any part of history, this is special and this is bigger than our franchise. And I'm certainly rooting for him as a person, rooting for him as a fan. But at the end of the day, the thing I care most about is that we find a way to beat the New York Yankees 4 games the next 3 days.
Yeah, Bubba Thompson starting at center field. It's been fun to watch Bubba during the second half of this year since he got called up. You know, how do you evaluate a guy like Bubba Thompson?
You know, Bubba is somebody who has come up and made a really, really strong impression. I think as much as any young player that we've seen come up to the big leagues, Bubba knows who he is, what his game is, what he has to do to be successful, and is stuck to that. He knows himself, and he sticks to his strengths, and he doesn't try to be somebody he's not. He doesn't put extra pressure on himself to do things he's not capable of. And I think it's shown in the way he's played. So I think it's a really, really tough quality for a young player. I think it takes years to really get to know yourself and what you have to do and be comfortable with your identity. Bubba has that already, and it's pretty special to see. And I think it's why he's had some success early on here at the big leagues. And we look forward to seeing him in center field tonight and seeing him continue to grow and learn.
Now, Chris, as a tall guy who fielded your position well and played college basketball, any thoughts on going out there in disguise tonight, maybe boxing some people out, get that ball?
I'm well past my prime, but that would be a lot of fun. My competitiveness says I would enjoy that, and I've been through too many surgeries to go out and push myself. But yes, it would be fun to do, though.
Yeah, me too. The pushing myself days are way gone by. Now, if you caught the ball as a player or a member of an organization, is that a must give back?
Oh, absolutely. That's Aaron Judge's baseball in my mind. And, I'm sure depending on who you ask, there's probably a price for that baseball. But nonetheless, you know, from my standpoint and the organization standpoint, that's his baseball.
You know, Gavin brought up an interesting point, though, because you were, you know, a bigger pitcher. How tough is it? And Judge is also a big guy, and you've got some big guys on the Rangers as well. You know, how tough is it as a bigger player to be able to stay healthy over the course of a major league season?
Well, I think it's a challenge for any player, regardless of size. I think that the physical grind of the season is really, really challenging. And so I think that, but for a taller player, there are unique challenges that present themselves and that you just have to get to know yourself, your body, and how you move and what you need to do to maintain your strength and mobility, flexibility throughout the course of the season. And I learned a ton about myself over the course of my career, things that I knew at age 35, I wish I had known at 25. And you know, I guess you're sort of at your prime when the physical matches the mental in terms of you being at the top of your game. And, you know, for a big pitcher, the sooner you can learn that, the better off you are.
Chris, in all honesty, if you went home and you were the guy that caught the Judge ball, you gave it back for free, would you be able to look your wife dead in the eye and explain that to her?
She would just be happy I wasn't giving up homers. She suffered through too many of my home runs, so she would just be happy that somebody else gave it up.
What advice do you have for a Rangers fan if they do indeed catch this ball during the course of the home series?
Well, handle yourself with class and dignity. Represent the Texas Rangers and DFW in a way that we would want. But be proud of what you get, because this is it's special. And again, I'm not saying he's definitely going to get it, but you know, if you sort of count the odds and how he's succeeded this season, I think that you know, odds are probably in his favor. But nonetheless, you know, it'll be a cool moment for all baseball fans if and when it happens.
Yeah, see why Leody Taveras has struggled a little bit here as we close the season. He's not in the lineup tonight. Just to circle back to that Bubba Thompson question, you know, what have you seen from Leody here in the last few weeks of the season? Has Bubba maybe eclipsed him, you think, as you move ahead to next year and projecting the starting outfield?
Well, I wouldn't say eclipsed. I would say both players have a lot to prove. I would say that this is, you know, we're going to put the best team out on the field that gives us the best chance to win right now and moving forward. And while we have great confidence in Leody, you know, all young players go through struggles. We've seen it with Josh Young. We've seen it with Josh Smith. You know, Bubba struggled at times, and Leody's going through it now. It's really how you get out of these moments and what you learn for it from how you apply it moving forward. And can he limit these slumps in the future? Can he become a complete player? And the same is true for everybody. So I think that's what we're looking to see, but by no means is anybody, you know, guaranteed a spot. It's a performance-based game. And while we'd like to dream on how good each of these players can be, at the end of the day, they have to go out and earn it with continued success and consistency. And that's the next step in a lot of these guys' careers.
Chris, when I was in the NFL in front offices, we had exit interviews and stuff with the players when the season was over. Is that something they do in baseball? Are you going to sit down with your roster and kind of talk with guys and expectations and where they might be with you? Or how does that work in baseball?
Yes. In fact, that's why I had to push our callback today from 4:20 to 4:30, because I was in an exit interview with a player. And but yes, that is something we're doing. I think it's very, very important. That's something I did not have done as a player. It's good for the organization to hear from the player what went right, how they evaluate their season in their own eyes, and then likewise for us to give feedback and set the expectation moving forward. I think it's a big part of where we're going and where and how we're going to get there. And we have a really good group. These guys all are very accountable. They understand what they've done well, where they need to improve, and what the expectation is for us to become a championship club. And so the exit interviews have been very, very good. They're direct. I think the players appreciate them. I certainly appreciate them. And the one thing I will say to our fans is that our team has given their best effort this year. I have full confidence that these guys have taken the field night in, night out, prepared, ready to give their best effort. And I am grateful to every player who puts on a Ranger uniform and has represented our organization in that manner. I do see players throughout the league who don't do that night in, night out, teams that don't do it. And our guys, they run balls out, they play hard, they play to win. We've just come up on the losing end too many times.
Now, Chris, as far as an exit interview with us, we really did enjoy getting to chat with you all year. I thought a few times you were maybe a little on edge and intimidating, but we liked that. And we're wondering if you enjoyed doing the show as well.
Well, next year you'll have to. I love doing the show, guys. This has been a real treat for me. I enjoy talking to you guys. I enjoy being connected to our fans. I appreciate all the support that you and everyone else has had for our team. Better days are ahead. I'm confident in that. But next year, you can tell me which CY you want. You want edgy CY or nice CY, soft CY? I'll let you guys tell me, and I'll try to act accordingly.
I want the CY who's had a McDonald's hash brown, okay? That's the CY.
We're going to have to. By the next time we talk, I will have fulfilled that. Thank you.
Can that be somewhere on the Rangers' priority list for offseason things that need to get done?
Hash like brown CY? Manager. Let's get that
on the bottom of the priority list.
We'll put it at the top of the list.
I'm excited for that full CY report at spring training. How about that?
Guys, I look forward to it. Thank you guys for a fun year talking to you.
Give them hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Thank you. Take care.
There goes Chris Young, Rangers GM here on 105.3 The Fan. We're back to go around the NFL and the G-Bag Nation.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, welcome back, Nation. It's time to go around the NFL, brought to you by Metter Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. All right, who wants it?
I'll take it.
Here's Wolchuk with first down.
Okay, so we had Filthy. They hosted Doug Peterson and the Jags. Now, this was kind of neat. You know how we have the jersey swaps at the end of games? Well, we had a jacket swap at the end of this one as former head coach of the Eagles, Doug Peterson, and current Eagles center, Jason Kelce, ended up swapping jackets. Peterson left the field without his jacket as he gave that to Jason Kelce after the loss. And afterwards, Jason Kelce said at his locker, "This is getting framed up, just like all the others. It's a very prized possession right
here." This is like official apparel?
Yeah, it's official apparel.
It's his rain jacket.
He took off his rain jacket, his Jacksonville Jags rain jacket.
I got one of those, too.
Took it off. Do you?
I have a Jacksonville rain jacket.
It's pretty
cool. Kept all my rain suits.
It's pretty neat.
Every place I've ever been.
Looks good.
Only kept the rain suits. They're good for fishing.
Took it off, gave it right to Jason Kelce, and he was real fired up about it, and he got a good ovation there as he returned as the former Super Bowl winning head coach of the Eagles. That made me sick even saying that. But
I'm about to say, are you getting queasy over there? Are you getting a little bit emotional?
Verbally, like physically sick. So somebody else go.
All right, around the NFL, brought to you by Metter Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Brought us second down.
Yeah, after following the firestorm of the health and safety criticism directed at the NFL for the Miami Dolphins for Tua, 12 players were removed from Sunday's games under the Lee's concussion protocol. The evaluations occurred across the 8 of the 14 games Sunday and appeared to suggest a cautious uptick of emphasizing when compared to the number from the previous week. So it's always one of those things when you see something, the league, they send out a memo, and it's like, listen. And by the way, guys getting fired on the, these evaluators and stuff getting fired, that gets your attention too.
You're gone.
Yeah. So Christy Scales talked about it yesterday with us in the pregame show. I asked her about if there was anything different, but we still have the people on both sides of the field, on both teams, both benchers, and then you have the guy, the gal upstairs that's the evaluation. So, yeah, the league are going to get they're going to get serious about this. They during week three, they only had three players that got benched after the protocols. This week, like I said, you've got 12 were removed. So
wasn't Cameron Brake running around out there with a concussion?
It looked like he did because the collision he had with one of the receivers there, right? Didn't he? Didn't he
oh, with Chris Godwin.
Chris Godwin, he collided, yeah, and he was still kind of running around out there. You're right about that.
Well, it's tough. You know, I think the players have a responsibility in this as well to not mislead the trainers, you know, to change their culture of wanting to play through everything and prove they're tough and everything. Because after the first concussion, like the really bad brain damage happens when you already have a concussion and then you get hit again. And it like it increases exponentially. Like one concussion and then 6 months later another concussion, that's tiny compared to two concussions over the course of the same game or even in back-to-back weeks or something like that. So I do think it's going to take everybody. And I think the players are a big part of the issue up until this point because it's been brainwashed into their culture. That, oh, you just bell rung. You know, how many generations of people inside that organization – you know, didn't look at it. And they say things, but do they really mean things when it comes to, and the players want to get out there and they feel like so many of them, they have money on the line. I got to prove I'm tough. Like there's only 10 guys per team who are made it for life. Mm-hmm. The other 43 guys are trying to get enough money before the NFL uses them and lets them go. Chia follow, here you go, third down.
All right, yesterday we had Kenny Pickett make an appearance for the Steelers, the rookie quarterback, Trubisky, not getting the job done.
No, he's not.
No surprise to anybody. Now, the
Jets.
I was
shocked.
The Jets end up beating the Steelers yesterday. Mike Tomlin did not want to really confirm at the microphone today whether or not Kenny Pickett was going to remain the starter moving forward.
I thought he confirmed.
After he went 10 of 13 with his three incompletions being three interceptions for Kenny Pickett yesterday.
Oh.
His first pass of his career was an interception. So, but he did have two scampers to the end zone, so two rushing touchdowns
for Kenny
Pickett.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Najee Harris did nothing for me in fantasy.
That's a sad deal. But I say all that to say, Ian Rappaport is saying that the Steelers are expected to move forward with rookie quarterback Kenny Pickett as the team's starter. So we'll get to see.
Did you just update your story?
I was giving the timeline because it hasn't come from Mike Tomlin. He was like, he didn't want to make a decision. But Ian Rappaport is saying that, hey, I know.
Why don't you get off my guy's ass, Brian?
Yeah. I was just wondering what was going on there.
What's up with you, dude? Get out of it, bro.
I was just wondering. You went too far, bro. Wow.
We got Rams and Niners tonight around the NFL. Brought to you by Metter Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. 7:15 ESPN. Guys, do you think the Niners are going to get back in this thing? They're sitting here at 1-2.
I do.
Basically 1-1 since Garoppolo came back. But if they lose tonight at 1-3, boy, that's going to be...
I mean, they had a weird start last year.
Need a big Debo game.
Yeah, my fantasy team could use a big Debo game. But, I mean...
Clowns.
They have a really strong defense. And Kyle Shanahan...
Is Bosa hurt?
And Joey Bosa.
Nick's okay. There's so many injuries. I mean, J.J. Watt's out there playing without a heart. Yeah, I mean, there's weird stuff going on.
And he had a heart. He just had to get it shocked a little bit.
Clear!
You know, reignite on Wednesday playing on Sunday. But yes, the Niners are going to be all right. All they do is win with Jimmy G and Kyle Shanahan. They just win
Jimmy
a bunch
G.
of games.
I don't think Kyle Shanahan has anything to do with it.
Yeah, Trent Williams is hurt, though, out there.
That does hurt.
Oh, yeah, Trent Williams is out. They're bleeped.
Vikings beat the Saints 28-25 in London.
Thanks to the double doink, 61-yard Will Lutz attempt.
If you need more stuff, I got more stuff for you.
Oh, I'm just doing the scoreboard here. Am I down?
No, give me the scores.
Yeah. You got the Falcons beating the Browns 23-20. That's a nothing. Seahawks over the Lions 48-45. Where is Geno Smith in the Pro Bowl discussion? You know, he leads the entire league in completion percentage. It's not even close.
Yeah.
300-yard games is what Geno Smith is doing. Yesterday, it was two touchdowns passing, one rushing.
Yeah.
Like, Geno Smith, if you just take away the name and look at the stats, you're like, man, that might be the MVP.
Maybe Reginald Atatula knew something,
Reggie knew.
Yeah.
Reggie knew.
Geno's been absolutely been balling. And then you have, at the same time, Russell Wilson struggling a little bit. Like, Geno Smith is better completion percentage, more yards, more touchdowns, and only one more interception than what Russell Wilson has right now. So that's been one of the most amazing storylines of the first month or so of this NFL season is Geno Smith being dang respect. You know how hard it is to go? I think that's back-to-back weeks of over 80% completions.
Yeah.
And he's not just dinking and dunking either.
No, he's
kind
making
of pushing
plays.
That ball.
He's slinging it to DK and Lockett.
It's a wild deal.
I think, he had experience, and now maybe he's found the system that's perfect for him, and a little bit of a late bloomer here in his later 20s. proving that he is the man. Okay, Raiders beat the Broncos. That's embarrassing for Denver, obviously. Speaking of that, you know, that you let the Raiders get their first win against you. But how about the Chiefs beating the Buccaneers 41-31? And Dude. It really was not that close. So Patrick Mahomes and your guy Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy have reinvented this offense to now it's all to backs and tight ends. 9 total touchdowns to backs and tight ends for the Chiefs, and they're looking like a high-octane offense even without Tyreek Hill. That speaks volumes about the talent of that player and the coaching that he's getting.
Yeah, I mean, and that is that's a solid Bucs defense. We know that. And that play that he made last night where he does the scramble, spin off a guy, and then do this weird like alley-oop throw for the touchdown. That is like one of the plays of the year right there. And when you look at Pat Mahomes versus the number one scoring defense throughout his career, including the playoffs, because coming into last night, the Bucs were the number one scoring defense. He's 6-1 in those games, scoring 31 points a game, over 300 yards passing, a passer rating of 94, like just absolutely dominating the best defenses that he comes across throughout his career. Like, Pat Mahomes is an absolute freak show juggernaut.
He's the best.
And how did they lose to the Colts last week? I'll never know.
I don't know, but he's still getting, that's the NFL for you, and he's still getting underappreciated. I mean, we talk about Lamar, and he's deserved the praise in terms of the NFL MVP conversation, but we talk about Josh Allen, but Mahomes, for some reason, doesn't get mentioned as often. I think Mahomes needs to be mentioned. He's still the best.
Yeah. He's the future GOAT, in my opinion. I don't think he's going to get the amount of success that Tom Brady did, but you know, nobody ever will. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be the best in this generation. Okay, when we come back, Nation, we have 30 minutes of broadcasting still to deliver to you. Jared Sandler is going to join you coming up at 5:20, but we have two guys, one booth, an audio celebration of the Cowboys' greatness and their victory and some of the best moments from the broadcast coming up next here on 105.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.